Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Well, I knew that Mel had found another hole, but I didn't know anything about all of this. This is incredible. Pretty freaky stuff. A number of questions from Mel. We'll try and get to the phones in this last half hour. Everybody stay right where you are. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. Once again, Mel Waters. So here's this thing staring at each and every one of you, examining you, obviously intelligent in some way. And it looks like a seal, not like a sheep at all.
Nothing like a sheep.
Yeah. That came out of this godforsaken tumor that was in this thing. What happened?
Well, you know, I got this seal, and he's kind of grinding, waddles around a little bit in the direction of the hole, and then he's just sort of is watching us some more, and we're sort of kind of at a safe distance, but we kind of encroach upon a little bit there. And I'm telling the Basque, hey, you're the big brave Basque here, you know, don't be afraid of this thing here. I'm just, you know, just an ordinary old guy here. Just we went up to it there, and it just looked at us here, and the look that it was giving us was, the only way I can describe it, it was like the most compassionate look that I'd ever seen from any face.
Mm-hmm.
It just, the way the eyes were looking and feeling this. And so some amount of time elapsed, and the little seal there starts to waddle again towards the hole, and I get this feeling that it wants to go up on the ledge, on the collar.
Right.
So I pick it up in my hands and I set it right there on there. And it moves around a little bit, and then we're pretty comfortable with this thing. I am. And my comrades there are pretty comfortable with it. I mean, we're not like freaked out anymore like we were. And maybe it's just, you know, we're over the shock, or maybe we are in shock. But that look that was giving us, it didn't seem like an evil thing or a horrible thing. It seemed like...
I'm sure you were in some state of shock.
Yeah. So it's up there, and then it moves around. I don't know how, maybe an hour he's on,
is on the ledge.
The collar. It looks at us. It actually nodded at us. It made like a slow nod. And it turned around and went back into the hole. At this point, we were close to it, so we watched him go all the way down as far as we could see, and we didn't have high-powered lights or anything, so no sound, nothing like that.
Into the hole, and that was it.
Into the hole. And so we were all just moved, just drained. I'm drained telling you this, Art, because it is such an enormous thing to go through.
You realize it sounds like an unbelievable tale from Alien or something. I mean, it sounds...
Well, I don't know what it sounds like. You know, all I can do now is to relay it.
Yep.
and then try to stand back from it.
All right, question for you, Mel.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any photographs of this hole?
I went up there from the natives to the hole. I basically camped at that property.
Right.
I didn't come and go. No one came and go. We had what we had over there. And so we didn't bring photographs. I personally didn't want to, I thought to myself, look, this would be great. We get this all on film, on video, whatever.
Right.
But I did not want to encroach upon what they had. You know, and if they came to me and said, look, Mel, why don't we go to town, go home, get our stuff, you know, and try to video, you know, fine. I would have said that, but I was not going to broach the subject with them. You know, I mean, I did, you know, I mean, to me, it was an enormous privilege to go where I'd gone at that point.
Are you likely to go back to the hole?
Yes.
You're going to?
I will. I will let you know that we decided we thought we would bury the sheep's carcass and the tumor.
Yeah.
We still had that, and we decided it was just best to take the whole thing and put everything back into the hole where it all came from.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, we just let it be. We had a tarp on the we just dumped the hole. Everything back into the hole where it came from. I didn't know what else to do. We thought about burying it, and it just didn't. I don't know. It just didn't seem right. I thought it would. And so that's what we did. I want to tell you something that is I believe related to this experience.
All right.
And that is prior to going to Nevada. This was in late August. I was diagnosed with a particularly lethal form of esophageal cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
This was a six, you know, like the kind that says you have 6 months to live, but, you know, they're just telling you that. You know, that there's, you know, like nothing they can do about it, but it was very fast growing. And one of the reasons I came back here was to see the same doctor because I started feeling a lot better. And my last examination with the doctor finds me cancer-free. I can't explain it.
Then you could document this, right? Because
he had, because they had whatever stuff diagnosing the cancer, and I went back to the doctor, and they could find no evidence of any cancer.
Is it your feeling that your proximity to the hole or something about the hole changed this?
I think it was the seal.
The seal?
I think it was the seal.
The seal?
I describe this thing as this huge tumor. And that's what I had. But I described it as a tumor because that was the only vocabulary I had to describe it with.
Gotcha.
And I handled this.
Well, that's right, you did.
And I smelled the ozone from it, and it just, the look that it gave me, there was something going on. I can't say, look, I was communing with the seal and I was, you know, had this conversation with this seal. No, I can't say that. But what I can say is that I had this feeling of such incredible compassion from this seal that ultimately went back into the hole. We just said, you know, that was it.
And what was the conversation like after all this was over, Mel, between the Basques and the Native Americans and yourself?
Okay. Well. First of all, the Basque that I were with, they were young guys, okay, and I think before this kind of your kind of shiftless sort of characters, you know, partiers and mm. all that, and they were like just profoundly moved. I mean, they were just had stuff going on in their mind after that, you know, they had been to another place, another time, anything. The reality had been all changed. Now, I had the opportunity before I left Nevada to speak right before I left. You know, I went back into civilization and spoke with a Basque elder.
Yes.
And this was the elderly fellow that I was referring to that told me some of the history of that he was in there, you know, for, you know, he remembered it from being a young man, and he described it to me and all of this stuff here. And his thing was he himself would go there to that area for spiritual connection, that there was something very spiritual, very primal that was going on. He was a tough guy to to talk to in some ways because he was more schooled in Basque than he was in English. But he got English out enough for me to understand. And so we talked actually at great length about the meaning of this. We did have some of the Native American people that I was work with at that particular thing. This is kind of like a party sort of atmosphere out there. You know, we were drinking what they like to drink, and you know, and eating the good Basque food and all of that. And it was a good experience there to kind of decompress from all of this. And so, but he could not relate to me any experience like what we had, except he knew. He almost expected what it was that I was telling him. He just totally, firmly, completely believed what it was that I was telling him. There was no surprise to him at all in this thing here. I got this, like, you know, really old Basque guy there, and he's just taking all this in stride and nodding, and, you know.
Yeah.
So he knows there's something enormous, of great enormity there, and my goal is to go back. I have agreed to work with the people I was working with the herbs and live amongst them and spend some time with the tribal members and some time with the Basque and spend it. And
are you going to do anything else with the hole itself?
With the one in Nevada?
Yes.
Well, I'm at this point, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, I come back, I'm overjoyed that I'm cancer free. I felt so good after that experience that I knew something happened to my body, so I was glad to get back and have it confirmed that the doctor said yes. But I do plan to go back. I do plan to study it. I hope to be a better human being about this and not send innocent animals into it or what have you. That to me, I guess I still can't believe that I allowed that to happen, but I did, you know.
Well, I appreciate your telling the story straight out this way. That's the only way to do it.
That's the only way to do it. And I got to tell you, I'm not selling a book.
Obviously,
I don't have a newsletter.
Right.
There are no Mel's Hole T-shirts. Mel's Hole.
Not that you produced anyway. I think.
Well, nothing that I have done. There are no Mel's Hole diaper pails or anything like that. I mean, to me,
Mel's Hole diaper pail. Who thought that one up?
Well, I mean, you know, they will commercialize everything in the world, and I have no part of this. This has been just an extraordinary ride for me, okay? It's been like nothing I could have ever imagined in anyone's life. To go where I've been, to be where I was, to go up, to go down, to be in the presence of such an amazing thing. And my only goal is to leave a permanent record of what happened.
Well, how closely are you willing to identify the location of this new hole?
Well,
just northern Nevada, is that?
I'm gonna put it there. I don't want the tribal people up there to be overwhelmed by people, you know, rushing out of Reno to get up there and
right, which they would
and doing all of that. I am going to go back.
Do you think you could politely approach the Basque and without identifying the specific area, get photographs?
If I feel comfortable, I will do that. I will also at this point, and I just have a little bit of what I have that happened in my Nevada experience left, but I know we're running out of time, is that anyone that can help me understand some of these things, if they can send an email to me, I'd appreciate it.
All right. You have an email address, right?
Yeah. It is Mel Waters.
Right.
At ATTBI. That's like ball igloo. B-I. attbi.com.
That's Mel Waters at A-T-T, that's Tom Tom,
right.
B as in boy, I as in India, attbi.com, right?
Right, and...
Mel Waters at attbi.com.
What
is it you want?
I cannot promise, you know, like a whole, you know, like to maintain a dialogue with people, but...
Well, what do you want,
there are other people out there that have had any type of understanding of this that can make some sense to me, that knows what's going on, I'm going to listen with fascination to your program on the Hollow Earth business.
Yes.
Because that's something I don't know about, but I sure like to know.
Well, there may be a relationship, obviously.
And so that I'm going to look at.
But, I mean, what do you want in email? Do you want some support? You're going to get media contacts?
What I really want is just the people that have good, serious opinions about this, that understand some of this. That I described a lot of things that occurred. I don't understand any of them. I only described them. You know, I mean, going back to what I started with talking about Ellensburg and bringing it up to today.
Yeah, get it.
I'll put it out.
You want somebody who might understand
right. All
of this,
and that. You know, may have been studying these types of matters, that have had theories, whatever. That's good. But I'm going to be away from civilization for a good part of time, so it's going to be difficult. Because I'm going to be going back probably mid-February, mid-March, somewhere in that timeline. And then I'm going to go up there for a period of time. I'll probably give you another contact when I get back to some sort of civilization, probably from Nevada. But I probably will get in touch with you again.
Okay. By all means, Mel, please try and see if they will allow you, I mean, without identifying the area, just to get some kind of...
You just want, like, a photo?
Some kind of photographic evidence,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to be afraid that people are going to be scouring that terror server now that I get that out there.
Well, they probably will.
I want to bring the final thing, because we were talking about the Basque elder that I was talking to, and it was a very profound experience for me to talk with him. And though he was not that much older than me, I felt that he was a great deal older than me.
Wiser?
Beyond that. So I know I could respect that. But we were sitting, you know, there and talking well into the night, drinking that good Basque drink that they like to drink and all that good stuff.
Yes.
And he got tired, and he was going to retire for the night. And he took my hand, you know, to clasp it. And in my hand, he put something in my hand when he was leaving.
Yes.
And he closed my hand.
Yes.
And he just told me, put that away. So he said, put that away. So I just, put it in my pocket and sat around talking with his family. And someone said, aren't you going to look at what, you know, the great-grandfather gave you?
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, okay. And so I take it out of my pocket, and it's a 1943 Roosevelt dime. They told me he had found a similar packet of Roosevelt dimes.
Oh, my God.
Up there in Nevada, Chinese red envelope, and they... said, and I said to him, I said, you know how valuable this thing is? I said, you know what this would sell at a coin auction? They said, no, you have to have it. You need to have this.
Do you have it now?
I have it. It's in my hand as we speak.
How about a photograph of that, Mel?
If I can scan a 1943 dime,
yeah,
you will have it.
Or get somebody who's got a really good quality digital camera, go to the macro setting and take a very close photograph of
it. Close up. But
can you do that?
I will do everything I can to do that.
You know my email address, right?
Yes, we can do that. And but that's what he left me with. And he said to me that it was very, very, very important. Or they told me, because they finished the rest of it. Told me this is something I had to have. Now, I hadn't told him anything. In fact, outside the fellow in Ellensburg, no one else knew about the dimes and the red envelope. But he found one out there, and he had it for years. I think he had it since the 40s, to be honest with you. Late 1943.
Mel, all I can tell you is we are out of time. This was one hell of a story.
I'm drenched.
I can tell. I can hear it in your voice. Mel, thank you for being here tonight. Thanks for catching us up on what was and what is. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Take care, my friend, and I really mean take care.
I will.
Good night.
Good night, Art.
Yikes. All right. From the high desert, I have no further comment. I'm Art Bell. Ta-ta. I'll be back for another hour on KFIAM 640, more stimulating talk radio.